It was a couple weeks ago that I had read a scripture about how that the Lord will let people prosper because they're going to be destroyed forever. I'm not going to preach on it tonight, but I know that several of y'all was in that service when I was looking for it. Was y'all here? Well, I found it. So turn with me before you stand, because I'm not going to preach. I'm going to preach from Revelation, but turn with me to Psalms 92. This is a very familiar psalm, but open your Bible to Psalm 92. I was reading, and I was thinking about how that God will let people prosper, and because He knows they're not going to get right. And so He'll let them have a good life on this earth because He knows they're going to be destroyed in heaven forever, or in hell forever. And then the saints of God will struggle because He don't want us to get attached to this old world. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all have ever known somebody that come down to die, and they, when they maybe told you or somebody else you heard, and they said, "Would you just pray that I could just go on and get out of this old wicked world?" Have you ever known anybody like that? I have. I've known people said, "Brother Sam, pray for me that I can just go on." Amen. Amen. But Psalm 92 and verse 6 says, "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this." What? Understand what? "When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is." And that means that's the reason that they're flourishing, reason that they're doing good, reason that they're springing as the grass, just prospering, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. God, in all of His knowledge and all of His wisdom, looks on this world. He loves everybody the same. He loves every human being the same. And He'll say, and He knows they're going to go and they're not going to turn around. Now God gives them a choice to. But God in His foreknowledge knows everyone that's going to be saved and not. God knows all things. There's nothing that God doesn't know. He has knowledge of the whole future. Can you imagine if the devil thinks about that, how that bothers him? Because God already knows. And it's hard for us to understand that because we are so limited in our knowledge. And God made it that way. But God looks upon man and He says, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to suffer through endless eternity. I'm going to give them a good life here. And He'll let them prosper. And He'll let them enjoy life. It's because they're going to be destroyed forever. Just because somebody prospers don't mean they're going to hell. But a lot of times we as Christians wonder, why am I suffering? And these people over here living like the devil. I mean, even songwriters have wrote about it and said, that song Farther Along said, "Then do we wonder why others prosper living so wicked year after year when we're suffering and struggling and trying to do our best for God?" Well, there's a twofold truth there. Number one, God don't want us as His children to get adjusted to this world. He don't want us to suffer, to get connected to this world and not long for the other world. And then He knows that the others are going to suffer all through eternity. And so He allows them to prosper. So saints tonight, when your family that's not right with God, when they go through trials, thank God for it. Because that's the dealings of God. Amen? God uses trials. Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm not going to preach along those lines at all. But I looked and looked for that scripture. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but I was going through references and concordances and everything, and finally I just said, "Lord, would you please help me find that scripture?" I know that Psalm 73 talks about that then I understood their end, and that's very plain along the same line. Said, "My foot was well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And I knew that, but there was another scripture that I wanted, And that was it, and there may be more. And I looked and looked, and I just said, Lord, and I closed my eyes. I said, Lord, help me. And opened my eyes, and there it was, right there in front of me. Never even found it in the concordance or nothing, just opened my eyes on it. So I thank the Lord for helping me find it. John, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. Thank the Lord for the testimonies tonight. I'm going to try to get in the way and then get out of the way, all right? So, but I am going to get in your way just for a little while here, and then do my best to get out of the way, and let's see what the Lord will do for us. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and this is our scripture text tonight, strengthen the things which remain, is what Jesus said to this church. Strengthen the things which remain. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. But let's read on. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you for your Spirit that we have felt already. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, Lord, that is in our heart tonight as you have been speaking to us as a church and as individuals. Thank you for the testimonies tonight, Lord, and different ones saying, God's a dealing with me and God's a speaking to me. I thank you for it tonight. I give you praise, Lord, for the privilege to worship your name, and also, Lord, help us to worship you greater than ever. Move tonight in the remainder of this service and speak to us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Strengthen the things which remain. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that in the end time, that one of the main tactics of the enemy would be to wear out the saints of God. Now, I know that we lost an hour today. Can anybody feel that hour you lost? Has anybody found that hour you lost? Were you still looking for it? Now, I know we may be tired tonight or however, you know, and we're fixing to take a trip tomorrow, and so, you know, I can be feeling just fine and get a call for work, you know, and man, I all of a sudden feel real tired just knowing that I got to get up at the, you know, daylight in the next morning. I mean, I'm just fine. I'm ready to go for several hours, you know. We just had supper and feeling good, and all of a sudden I get that call and know I got to get up in the morning, and man, I mean, a spirit of slumber will come on me immediately, and I mean, I'm just dragging, barely making it. And, you know, that must be some type of a mental issue that I need to work on. But I don't think I'm going to take a pill for it or see a psychologist. I just need to pray about it and overcome it, right? But we get tired. We get tired spiritually. We have to guard against that. Matter of fact, we must guard against weariness. The Bible said, if you run with the footmen and they wearied you, how will you contend with horses? You know, God looks at it sometimes and said, this little trial gets you out. This little thing gets you crossways in the road. And you know, sometimes we get crossways over the smallest things. And God said, if you run with the footmen and they wearied you, how are you going to contend with horses? Brothers and sisters, there's coming a day. And I believe that the saints of God, and I know there may be some older saints, amen, that God may take home, and he could take any of us home. But I believe that the church that is alive, the generation that is serving God today, is going to see things happen. amen, that we are in the end of time and we're going to see things that we never imagined that we could possibly see. We already are if we just open our eyes, amen, and our hearts and look around us at the signs of the times. Amen. But, you know, if you run with the footmen and they weary you, how will you contend with horses? And he said, if in the land of peace it bothered you, said, how are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? Jordan was an interesting river that ran down there. And there was all types of thickets and real thick brush around Jordan. And that it would come out of its banks every year in the rainy season and would push wild animals and beasts and lions and different things up into civilization and all types of things would come up. And that's what the Bible is talking about. It said, if you're doing okay and you can't even do right when everything is peaceful, how are you going to do when Jordan gets out of his banks and all these evil beasts come in among you? Amen. And many times, amen, we get to the place where we're too weak when we ought to be strong. Matter of fact, Paul said, I should be giving you meat, but I have to give you a bottle. Said, you should have grown up by now, but I have to give you a bottle. Said, matter of fact, you should be teaching others, and I have to teach you. But here he is talking to the church in Sardis. And these seven churches, there's so much that reaches to us. I read it, amen, again and again, and reading through these churches, there's so much that Jesus, who had the seven stars and walked among the seven golden candlesticks, amen, and here he tells this church, amen, he says, strengthen the things that remain. He has a lot against this church. He said, I know thy works. You have a name. You know, we've got to be careful to have a name or a front. God hates hypocrisy. We've got to be true and real and not fake. I mean, you know, sometimes we'll come to church and act just like we're the greatest saint. And then we'll go home and carry on with our spouse or you know, whatever, you know, kick the dog off the porch. And I mean, you know, you get saved, the dog will know you got saved. The Bible says that the righteous regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Amen. And but anyways, we get to the place where we put up a front. Amen. And hypocrisy. And you know, husbands and wives fight like cats and dogs. And I always try to figure out which one's a cat and which one's the dog. But I guess the cat stays in the house and the dog gets kicked out. But help us, Lord. Tonight we need to strengthen the things which remain. He said you have a name that you live but you're dead. He said be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. This church was in trouble. Have you ever been trouble in your life? Have you ever been trouble in your spiritual life? Amen. And you knew you was in trouble. Maybe a message from God came. Thank God for a message from God. Amen. Thank God for an evangelist. Hallelujah. You read Pilgrim's Progress where evangelists, amen, gave him the direction and somebody turned him off. Amen. Turned Pilgrim off on the road. There are Christian off on the side road and he climbed up that mountain and he was falling down and there he was in such discouragement and despair and ready to go back. And all of a sudden there was evangelist and he gave him reproof. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the messenger of God's word. Hallelujah. You ever thought about when Paul was on that ship? Amen. And they was going to kill those men on that ship, and he said, the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose. Praise God. There was probably murderers on that ship and all kinds of people on there, but they were saved because there's a man of God on there. You realize how many times their life was saved? You know, see, Paul, they was taking a group of prisoners to Rome. And Paul was in that group. And those Roman soldiers had to give their life for the life of that prisoner. But do you ever thought about how many times their lives was saved? All because Paul was on the ship. All because Paul was on the ship. Well, first off, they would have died in the storm, no doubt. Because Paul said, I told y'all not to loose. Amen. He said, but the angel of the Lord stood by me and said, no life will be lost. Hallelujah. So there's one, they were saved from the storm just because a praying man was on the ship. Hallelujah. God give us praying people in families, praying people in marriages, praying people in the church, praying people in our communities. Thank God for praying people. Amen. But there's one time, and then another time that they were saved was those Roman soldiers, see, the centurion's the leader, the Roman soldiers, they had to give their life for the prisoner. If that prisoner escaped, then their life was caught. They had to die. And Paul, because he was on the ship, the centurion was willing to save Paul. So there's the second time. They would have cut their heads off right before that ship wrecked. But because Paul was on the ship, amen, those Romans was rough men and soldiers, heartless. Amen. But all because Paul was on the ship, amen, he said he kept them from their purpose. Amen. And so there's the second time their life was saved. You know, there was a third time that I believe, amen, we might could debate it, but the third time is because when those ships would wreck on those islands, them was wild people. The Bible says that they was barbarians. They was wild. They was heathen people. And they would have caught those men and made them slaves. And they would have stayed there. They stayed there for several months as it was. But they would have probably turned them into servants and slaves and tried to make some type of a gain out of them. You know, money or something. So their life or killed them. And many of those islands was cannibals on those islands. Amen. They would have been toast. Did y'all hear about those cannibals? I probably shouldn't tell you this. Those cannibals was talking. And one of them said, I don't like my mother-in-law. And the other one said, try the potatoes. But anyways, I shouldn't have told y'all that. That was bad, wasn't it? But anyways, their life was saved three times. And then, last but not least, everybody on that ship got saved because Paul was on that ship. Because Paul said, God said, I have given you everyone on this ship. Brother Curtis, four times, three physical and spiritual, all because Paul was on the ship. Thank God for a man or woman of God, because God looks after his servants. Amen. You find somebody that's close to God, get as close to them as you can. Hallelujah. But anyways, I'm talking about strengthening the things that remain. Now I've got to get to preaching this message. Amen. First off, he said, amen, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And then verse 3 is where I want to preach from. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. So I want to preach to us tonight on how to strengthen the things that remain. Three ways. First off, to strengthen the things that remain is, first off, remember. Remember how you have received and heard. And then number two, hold fast. Praise God. And then last of all, repent. Amen. Repent. Learn how to repent, saints of God. Learn how to say, I'm sorry. Learn how to fall on your knees, because there's never a saint, amen, never a child of God that won't fall or make a mistake at some point in their life. We got to learn to humble ourselves. The Bible said, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Learn how to repent to God. It's not easy to repent, because it ain't easy on the flesh. It ain't easy to say, I'm sorry. Amen. Sometimes you got to say you're sorry to one another. To your wife and husband, many times. Amen. Me and Sister Bethany, you know, we'll get in an argument just telling each other who was wrong. No, I was wrong. No, I was wrong. You know, not really. Amen. But, you know, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There ain't no winners in an argument. Because the Bible said, what doth arguing reprove? You win an argument, what have you won? Amen. God, help us to say I'm sorry and repent. Help us to repent to God instead of proving ourselves. Amen. You know, the flesh likes to build itself up and prove himself right. But that's the carnal man. Amen. That's not what Jesus taught on the Mount of Olives when he sat down and taught them in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. He taught them. He said, if somebody asks you for a coat, give them your shirt too. He said, if somebody asks you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. He said, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek and give them. Let them slap it. I told you all about that man that went to Asia as a school teacher, but he felt like that he was called to be a missionary, Brother Wayne. He felt such a burden for these people. Well, he got an opportunity. He had a degree. He got an opportunity to teach in a school. Well, he began to teach them the Bible. He began to teach them the Bible and teach the Bible. He was reading the gospel of Jesus, was there for a long time, and not one person got saved. He got discouraged. He said, God, did you send me here? I have all these people. I've been teaching them the gospel, and they're not repenting of their sin. And the story says that he's there teaching one day, and a young man rises up, and he comes up to him, and he slaps him on the cheek. And he said, whoa. And he said, immediately he thought, the Bible says, turn the other cheek. So in his humility and godly self-control, he turned the cheek, and the boy slapped him on the other cheek. And he said he looked up, and every one of them had come out of where they were sitting and begin to kneel and ask the Lord to forgive them. And when it was all over, they said, we had made a deal. Said, if he really believes what he's been teaching us, then he'll put it to practice himself. And let's put him to the test this morning. Amen. And they put him to the test, and he passed the test. And God started a church in that Asian country. Thank God. Help us, amen, to let God use us in our life, no matter how it is. Amen. Praise God. Strengthen the things that remain by remembering. Do you remember how God helped you? You know, it's so easy to forget, not just the goodness of God in our life, but it's so easy to forget how God saved us, how God filled us with the Holy Ghost, and how lost that we really was. Amen. The Bible said, remember how you received and heard. Remember how you received it. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. God, if we've got something in our life, God gave it to us. We didn't get it on our own. We say, well, I achieved this. You know, John the Baptist said in John, he said, a man can receive nothing. Can y'all say nothing? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Amen. Nothing. A man can receive nothing. God gives us everything we've got. Brother Wayne was talking about, amen, being blessed and having things. Amen. And, you know, I don't think I'm old. I'm, you know, young, but I look at my life and I think about how God has blessed me, brother. Amen. How I bought homes and sold them. Amen. And I don't have no degree or, you know, nothing like that. Just, I mean, you know, and hallelujah, and had cars and trucks and got tools and you know, all of these things. And I mean, everything I've got come from God. And the Bible said, remember how you received. That's the natural. Think about the spiritual. Amen. And how God has filled me with the Holy Ghost and amen, and blessed my life and touched me and amen, encouraged me and taught me to pray and taught me to fast and given me the desire. You know, we wouldn't be serving God if we didn't have a desire. You know why some people ain't serving God tonight? They don't have a desire. Amen. But God's given us a desire. Amen. I'm talking about strengthen the things that remain. How do you strengthen them? Remember how you received.
I think about how God has touched my life, amen, and given me a desire to serve Him and a desire to work for Him, amen, and how He's blessed us, amen. He said, remember how you received and you heard. Do you remember how you heard of God and the ways of God? You know, there's people in error. There's people that, amen, get caught up in error. Get caught up in the wrong way. Amen. And God, in His mercy, has given us the truth. And I believe it's the truth. Because it's the Word of God. The Bible said that they was more noble in Thessalonica. Amen. They was more noble in Antioch than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You can't just listen to somebody tell you something and not go look it up in the Bible. Amen. You got to look it up. You can't just read a book and say, well, this is good. Man, this tickles my ear. This makes me feel good. Amen. The Bible said that the devil is translated into an angel of light. It's no wonder that his prophets and his people, amen, is translated into to workers of righteousness. And so remember how thou hast received and heard. Amen. Do you remember how the Lord touched you? Do you remember how the Lord filled you? Do you remember how God, amen, I'm talking about strengthen the things that remain. You know, and we're not supposed to look back into the world, but we're supposed to look back at where we came from. Amen. Sometimes it's good to look back, not to the world, but to look back at where God brought you from. Sometimes you don't even feel like you're making progress. You ever feel that way? Then I ain't making no progress. I've been in this same spot spiritually for a year. Well, you know how to know if you're making progress? Look behind you. Not look back to the world. That's a different kind of look, like Lot's wife. We don't look, amen. There's a look back that looks, amen, that we can take and with a desire to go back. And then there's a look back, amen, in thankfulness to God. Like the Bible said, look unto that rock from which you was hewn. Take a look behind you and see how God has brought you further. Strengthen the things that remain. Remember, he said, remember, amen, how thou hast received and heard. In the book of Timothy, Paul said, amen, when I call to remembrance, Paul said, when I remember, 2 Timothy 1 and 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in thee also. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Amen. He said, I put you in remembrance. I want you to remember what God's done for you. Amen. Y'all remember that time where David was going to go into Saul, one of the first times that he didn't go into Saul? Because see, David was a servant of Saul, and every festival, all the king's servants would come in and eat with Saul, or eat with the king. And David was afraid that Saul would kill him because Saul had been chasing him to kill him. And David told Jonathan, said, I can't go in, they'll kill me. He said, but I tell you, you go in there, And if it's danger, you come out and tell me. You know the story. The Bible said when David left there that the first place he went was to the house of God. And he went to Amalek, that priest. And that's the one that, I'm talking about the story where the man, Saul's servant who kept his sheep, he was there and he overheard the conversation and he went back and told Saul and Saul went and killed all of those priests. You're talking about a wicked man and no fear of God. Amen. No fear of God. There was one priest that escaped and came to David. But he killed all of them. And matter of fact, one of Saul's servants wouldn't do it. Some of them, he said, kill them, and they wouldn't do it. They had the fear of God. I'm telling you, there's times when people tell you to do wrong, they may be in authority over you. But if you know it's sin, you have to fear God greater. Amen. But they killed those priests. But when David got down there, y'all remember the story, even Jesus referenced this story. But David come down there, and he ate of the hallowed bread. And also, he said, do you have a sword here? I'm talking about remembering. And the priest said, I've got the sword of Goliath. Woo! Hallelujah! He said, give me that sword. You know what David did when he ran from Saul? Every time he looked at that sword, he remembered a little boy standing on a hillside with nothing but a sling in his hand. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to get memorials out. You've got to get things out to cause you to remember. Amen. Maybe a picture or something to help you remember a revival or a prayer answered or where God moved for you. David looked at that sword and said, my God, I remember standing on a hillside and a man over 10 foot tall standing there, and I swung that slingshot and that rock, and this is the sword. You know how to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die? Remember how you received and how you heard. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, remember how you received. Remember how you were saved. Remember a move of God. Remember how He filled you with the Holy Ghost. I can remember times around this church, amen, in this sanctuary where God moved.
Oh yeah.
Y'all might not believe it, but I remember things sometimes. And I forget too. But I remember God moving and helping and touching. I remember when Jody came and prayed, coming on the bus. I remember the service he was here. The first service. We was full of people that had come on the bus. We was serving food on Sunday morning and Sunday night then. And this place was packed. Amen. And I was a preaching, and I walked right back there and shook the man's hand that was sitting beside him. And Jody was sitting right beside him. I remember the first time I saw him. Amen. I was standing right back there. Amen. Preaching, holding the microphone and preaching. And this place was full of people. Amen. And there was a man on the end of the pew, and Jody was on the second one. Amen. And you know what? He never missed the service from that time. Maybe one or two. But he never put membership in at another church. I don't think.
Never will.
Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I'm going home with Jesus just the same. I remember when we was having a picnic. Amen. And that girl was demon possessed, and we come over here and prayed, Sister Bobby, and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I mean, we just had people gathered over at the gym. We was all wore out and tired. Amen. And Brother Mike, hallelujah, praise God, was praying. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even a regular service. I didn't even know the Lord, but I'm telling you, I remember we prayed for him, amen, so many times to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for it, but he'd wear us out. Amen. And he'd keep right on a praying. But we was in here, nobody was praying for him, and he came back on Wednesday night. I said, I remember. Amen. And we prayed for that other lady, and she fell down, and Brother Mike was back there praying right in the middle aisle. Amen. And the Holy Ghost began to speak right through him. Glory to God. I remember. Amen. Hallelujah. When God has healed people in this church, I remember God has anointed us to preach. I remember the power of God coming upon us and telling us things. Amen. That there's no way we would know. Amen. How do you strengthen things that are remaining but are about ready to die or to die? I'll tell you what Jesus said. Remember. It'll strengthen you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not living in the past, and we're not to live in the past. Amen. But we forget too easy. We forget the goodness of God.
Amen.
We forget how God touches us. I remember Jody was up there at the... I'm not going to tell off on you, but I'm going to. He was at the mission. Amen. And he called me, and he didn't even hardly know me. We didn't know each other. But he said, I want to tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I tried to smoke a cigarette today, and I got sick at my stomach. Amen. And if God did it for him then, he can do it for him now. Hallelujah. I'm not throwing rocks at him this morning. I'm just remembering. Or tonight. I said this morning. If I preach much longer, I'll be right. Hallelujah. I remember. Do you remember how God's blessed you?
Yeah.
Do you remember how God's healed you? Brother Wayne, you remember things in your life. Hallelujah. Ministries, time that God's touched you. Do you remember? I'm telling you, young people, you may not have a lot of memories this morning. Or, oh man, y'all look at me. Hallelujah.
What in the world's wrong with me?
He said, remember and hold fast. You know how to strengthen the things that remain? Hold on.
Amen.
Hold on. Praise God. Hallelujah. We get such a loose grip on the things of God. They told a story about a man who had went to England, and he was a pearl collector, and he had got word of somebody that was a pearl dealer over there in kind of a remote area, and this man knew pearls, and he went over there, and he saw this pearl, and he knew it. He knew that pearl was worth so much in America among jewelers. And this was many years ago. And he put a deposit down on it and said, I'll be back to get it. He came back to America knowing what it was worth and sold his possessions, sold things, knowing that if he could get that pearl, he'd be able to get far more than what he had. So he sold possessions. If the story's right, he sold his land, his house. And he goes back to that place and he purchased that pearl. And he had it, and it was so dear to him, and he knew the value of it, that he would hold it in his pocket with his hand, and he wouldn't let it go. He got on the ship immediately, coming back to America, and he didn't tell nobody what he had. He wouldn't tell. He was afraid they'd steal it. He knew what he had. He would hold it in his hand at all times. He was sure to keep it secure. But as the days turned into weeks on the trip back to America on the ship, he began to pull it out just in his cabin and look at it. Amen. And think, oh man, how beautiful it is. And he began to pull it out. And then he would go up and look at it in the light. He wanted to see it in the sun, how it would glisten when nobody was on the deck. And so one day, the story is that he's on the deck looking at that pearl, and he began to toss it just barely and watch it glisten in the sun. But the wave hit the ship and knocked it. Amen. And the pearl sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And there goes all of his life and all that he worked for and everything he dreamed of down to the bottom, and he could do nothing about it. I'm telling you, that's a sad story. I don't know if it's true or not. I read it in a book. But I'll tell you, I've seen people do toss, amen, far more precious things into the air. And the devil's waves would knock the ship and it would go down. And they've lost what God had given them. They've lost experiences. They've lost what God's blessed them with. We've got to hold it fast and not get careless with the things of God. Hallelujah. Strengthen the things that remain by holding fast. You know, in the Bible where it talks about Thessalonians, when he said, in everything give thanks, and goes down through that list. Amen. In everything give thanks, and rejoice evermore, and pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, abstain from the appearance of evil. When he's going through these little lists right here, you know one of them, and he said, hold fast that which is good. When God moves in your life, don't let the devil or anything steal it from you. You know, young people, when you get in a revival or a service or an experience with God, you've got to put your guard up when you walk out that door, because the devil is wanting to steal it immediately.
Amen.
You get in a move of God or something in your life, the next day at work, the devil will come with all his forces. You think, man, I thought I got a blessing from God. Well, you did. That's why the devil's fighting you. You go home, it seems like everybody's at odds with you. Why? Because the devil is trying to steal what victory you just got.
Amen.
Amen. Bad news and things come, pressures of life, amen, temptations, all kinds of different things. The devil will use whatever he can to steal what you've got from God. But strengthen the things that remain by holding fast and then repenting. Amen. God, give us a repenting spirit. A spirit of repentance. A spirit that repents when God deals with us. Amen. God, help us to repent. I'm through preaching tonight. I'm preaching tonight on strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Hallelujah. Stand together with me tonight. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Sister Bethany can come and play for us just a little while. We let her off this morning. Hallelujah, but we can't let her off tonight. Praise God. Don't you want to strengthen things that remain? Strengthen the things of God in our life by remembering, by holding on, by repenting. There's something in your life tonight that God's dealing with you about. Repent of it. Turn around on it. Turn around immediately. It's not wrong to say I'm sorry. Amen. Children, learn to say you're sorry to your parents. Amen. Learn to say you're sorry. Amen. Repent. Having a heart of repentance. Praise God. You know the Bible says, go ahead, I'm done, but you know the Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. All through the Bible, God would pronounce judgment on people in the Old Testament, and then they would weep and break before Him, and He'd tell the servant, said, go back and tell them, hey man, I'm going to do this, this, this. Three instances come to my mind. When David committed sin with Bathsheba, Nathan said, you did it in the closet. I'm going to do it before everybody.
Amen.
David said, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And God immediately spoke and said, the Lord said, you're not going to die for your sin. Hallelujah. He deserved to die. He murdered Uriah. He committed adultery. But He said, you're not going to die, because David had a heart of repentance. Hallelujah. Ahab, amen, when he took that vineyard from Naboth, the Bible said that Elijah pulled those leaves back and said, where they lick the blood, they're going to lick your blood. And their dogs are going to they're going to spread Jezebel. They're going to eat her, and they won't even bury her. The dogs will eat her. And the Bible said that Ahab humbled himself and fasted. He was a wicked king. But Sister Bobby, he humbled himself, and God told Elijah, go back and tell him, because you humbled yourself, I'm not going to bring it in your days, I'm going to bring it in your son's days. And then lastly was Hezekiah. Not because sin was in his life, but he was sick. And God sent Isaiah down there and said, you're going to die, you're not going to live. The Bible said that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept and cried. And Isaiah wasn't even out the gate yet. God said, go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 years to live. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about a broken and a contrite heart before God. Help us, Lord, to be humble before you, Lord, and meet us in these altars tonight. Strengthen the things that remain. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give it a time of prayer.